Take Todd and Tyler wherever you go with the Todd and Tyler app. Stream live, get podcasts and more. It's free in your app store, so download it now. This is the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
So I had to do a little improv at a college class. I don't even know what it was called at the time. Might have been some sort of, it was at the theater department. I know that. It was because I was in communications, so we took some theater classes. Yeah. Not in college. We're in high school doing that. I wasn't bad at it because I can do this, but also was really embarrassed by it. You know?
Yeah.
They would just throw out stuff and they'd go, be this. And you go, and you always did something stereotypical, especially back in the day. I mean, one guy said, be a director. And of course, I flamed it up pretty brutal, you know. Thank God there's no video of that. Yeah, it'd be funny.
Oh, what a stretch.
I know. But that's what I always found weird about it. But, you know, is that why you didn't like it, Nick?
I didn't like the warm-ups.
Yeah.
Like, the warm-ups are the most embarrassing part, where you have to stand in a circle forever you're going to do improv with and be like, zing! Like, I don't remember exactly what
zip,
they were.
Zip, zap, zop.
Zip, zap, yeah.
What
zip, zap,
mean?
Zop. Like, then you toss it to somebody and they say it and, like, they try to match your cadence or whatever. You're trying to get into, like, a zen, like, the same headspace as everybody. So you can, like, operate as one unit.
So you're all shouting, like, a mantra of some kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And
like,
for people that
you ever
just
get, like, the douche chills when you see something so
douche
douchey?
Chills,
like,
right. Yeah.
Kind of, like, Saved by the Bell, like, something, like, super cringy. It's like, I remember just doing that. And be like, oh, this is bad.
And you guys were in the same class back in the day, right?
Yeah. There was a memorable student in there, one of our fellow students who, the whole mantra of improv is yes and, you know, build upon what the person just said. So there was once, luckily it was during the class and not a show, where she just threw out a very weighty racial slur.
Oh, with the R at the end.
The
right?
Hard R.
And was she a white girl?
Yeah, totally.
And was she calling somebody that? Was there a black person on stage?
I just remember she just threw it out.
Yeah. Like, that would be a great comedy building block. Nothing's better than racial slurs.
In some crowds it would.
Yeah, it's a tough sell, though.
This was the same girl that was told she needed to wear pants because her genitalia was distracting the rest of the class.
You mean like by the toe was too thick?
Pretty much. Yeah, okay. There was. Yeah.
It was just wearing short skirts.
Or was she too hot? Was she too hot?
I think she thought she was.
Okay.
Okay.
Her genitalia?
Well, it was just, you know.
Was it a big toe?
Like Daisy Dukes?
Yeah, really like super short shorts.
Do you remember her, Zach?
Yeah.
You're not going to forget that.
I don't remember the incident, but I remember the person.
And she hooked up with a couple dudes who, like, were nice guys but not very funny. I'm like, that's weird. She has a type. But it turns out her grandpa used to be a clown. I'm like, okay. Like some Freudian stuff.
Well, that's some weird, deep-seated issues there.
Is she still in the business?
Yeah.
I think she got into powders.
Okay. It's what we do more extemporaneous speaking.
Of course it is.
Than improv.
Of course it is.
Okay, because I said that was an old Howie Mandel bit, or he was picking on. He was something about improv, and he'd, I'll do some improv for you. And he'd give me something to talk about, and the crowd would shout out something.
Right. I remember this.
And now, give me something funny to say about it.
I remember that joke. Right. That was a Howie Mandel bit.
I mean, I've always thought of this as like at least a cousin of some sort of improv.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no script, and the point is to be funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you kind of have to build upon what the others say.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's in the same realm.
It's a verbal thing.
I've never been a fan of. Whose line is it anyway?
No.
Hereby.
Yeah, because
they're all really talented guys.
Yeah.
And for them to travel around the country and do that every night and make some money, it's got to be tough, but I'm not a big fan of that.
But it seemed rehearsed. Do you think it was rehearsed?
No.
I think they probably played that game so many times they have their own.
Yeah,
sort of
you're probably right. And, you know, they developed enough chemistry.
And they're all really good dudes. I mean, the guy was on 2.5 Men for years. He was funny as hell. And then. Murray's great.
Yeah, Joel Murray.
Yeah, Joel Murray's great, dude. Yeah.
Wayne
Brady.
But
I'd rather do anything than sit through one of those.
I actually did improv last night.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I went to.
Now, you like stand-up better, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was just, it's one of those things where it's like a sort of an open mic for improv, and I was I'll get on stage, see if I can make anything work.
Okay, you know? So what was the subject? They said, be this guy?
Well, it's like you get a word, and then people start doing scenes, and then you start sort of you just jump in or whatever. Right. And it was fine. It was fun. You know, like
keep your brain sharp, right?
Have you ever done some improv, and then it turned out pretty good, and you put it in the act?
No.
Okay. wasn't that good?
No.
Nick, tell the rusty trombone story. It's not actual sex.
I'm hovering over the bus.
It's not about getting one.
It's the same improv class where a long time ago, there was in the seat a trombone was mentioned, and I'm like, that's probably pretty rusty, huh? Right. And then I was told after the scene that, you know, improv's not like, we don't really like make like jokes. It's not about like throwing punchlines in and like, man, if I can't make a rusty trombone joke, I don't think this is
for me. What am I doing here?
Yeah, and if there's no punchlines, how's it funny?
The situations, and it can like, good improv is super impressive, and bad improv is... It's very difficult.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
I had to leave the last improv show I went to. I had to leave because I was slightly baked, and I was like, you know, I realized that when I was laughing, I was the only person that was laughing at the times I was laughing. I should probably get out of here.
But you're laughing at the stuff that was bad.
Well, because they'd just be like, you know, I'm a horse now, and I'd be like, okay, great. Let's see how this goes.
You're a horse.
Nay. There's some good improvisers here in Omaha.
Yeah, there are.
I'm sure there is.
I've been to a couple shows.
It's tough, man.
That's really impressive. Yeah.
My wife is right now taking a class from Rachel at her theater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she just decided, what the hell, I'm going to give this a try.
In those classes, I think a lot of like business people or people with corporate jobs and stuff do it just to, you know, get out of their comfort zone and do something.
Because they have corporate jobs
people.
And they always want to be artistic and stuff.
She said there's a bunch of lawyers in the class with her. Mm-hmm. Like that all work at the same firm, and I think it's a good like thinking on your feet, being in the moment exercise, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's also probably they want to be show people in their other life, and they're, you know, because a lot of people don't.
Well,
get
no,
to
in the lawyers,
a lot of people
case,
don't get to be
no,
fun jobs. Yeah,
they
we have
might
a fun
be able
job.
To take some of those skills into the courtroom.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think they're trying to apply the overarching concepts to what they do. And
but
I
there's
think
no it, money in that. Nobody's making any money doing improv except for those guys that travel.
Yeah, no, but the thinking on your feet aspect, I think they're trying to hone and refine. Yeah,
I think
that.
Also isn't it too? But I think some of those people want to have an artistic outlet because they don't have
because
they're business people.
I'm sure that's part of it too.
Yeah, they don't get the same rusty trombone jokes all morning like we do.
Yeah, and it really is like a listening thing. Just put like the good improv, or what was it, the Del Close or whatever. It's about like trying to find the game that emerges from the scene. Like, this is what we're doing now.
So it's paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being in the moment, as they say.
Yeah, and being part of a team, which I struggle with.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this isn't all about me? Well, I don't know if I like this.
Well, that's why you do stand-up. Exactly. It's all about you.
Crystal's come home from these classes already, so she's like, I could pitch this to you know, white-collar offices all over the place, and it would, you know, apply it to, you know, a team building exercise type of thing inside offices.
Yeah.
There was a show, I don't know if they still do it or not, I think it was called Interrogation or something, where they would have somebody from the crowd come up and tell a story about like when they got in trouble for something from their life. And then they'd ask them some questions, you know, they'd tell the story for 5 to 10 minutes, and then the entire show would just be based off of that story. Where people would just improvise scenes around maybe like a big theme from the story, even just a small detail. It was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A combination of amazement and horror. Hitchhiker fish hide in mantra ray buttholes. Did you send this to me, Nick?
No, I did.
It sounds like it sounds like
manta
a Mad Lib onion story.
Manta ray
buttholes,
right?
Is this a dream I had?
Yeah. Listen, Drew's that guy that was stuck in the whale. Is it like that?
Yeah.
Oh, these are fish that just suck off other fishes, right?
Well, they're just parasites.
Yeah. Remoras. They're the, like sucker fish that you know they ride along. And
is that a manta ray's butthole?
That's a manta ray's butthole in that
never
photo.
Saw
and
one.
There's a fish stuck up there.
It's a great band name.
Right.
Catch and Ride.
It's similar to...
It's because it's warm up there?
Human anatomy. Yeah, there's probably a lot more nutrition up there.
Oh, you're right.
Find
there's
in the
butthole
ocean.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
You think the manta ray wonders what's going on back there?
Or he's pushing back on it.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
Right. If he even notices.
Well, no, it says in one observation, a
and
free diver.
For his pleasure, too, by the way.
A free diver was near one of these manta rays. He noticed that this fish quickly inserted itself into the manta ray's cloacal opening, and the manta ray appeared bothered by the abrupt intrusion.
I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
The manta ray briefly shuddered before continuing to swim away with the remora still inside its cloacal opening.
Yeah. Well, it's that kind of day.
Yeah. And by cloacal opening, we mean butthole.
Butthole.
Is that the scientific term for butthole?
Well, it's kind of, I think it's both. It's the it's the one opening they got where everything.
Now, does that apply to humans or just fish?
No, I think that's a fish lizard type of thing. I remember Jack Hanna used to use that.
Who did we talk to the other day, or talk about that ate manta ray?
Oh yeah,
it was Joe Coy.
Joe Coy.
Right, said he had some in the Philippines or in manta Thailand or somewhere.
Yeah.
That would suck because they don't have hands to remove this fish from their
butthole. It's just back there, man. I guess you save a fart for that fish, right?
Yeah.
And just blow it out.
Oh, yeah. Birds, reptiles, amphibians. Some mammals all have a cloaca, a single rear orifice.
I know if I was a manta ray, I'd be saving farts. You know, like.
And their little stinger isn't that flexible, is it?
Right. That's going to happen
probably
in an improv
class.
Like, hey, you couldn't curl that stinger underneath like you would a tail, you know, and poke the fish to get out of his butthole.
All right, Zach, you're a manta ray. You're saving a fart. What do you do? I want to see that on the stage later on.
All right, I'll do that. I'll do that this weekend.
Okay, yeah.
Warehouse
film it, so I won't be there. But but I'd come in for that one. Yeah, I got to see him be a butthole.
I would save that for the nature reserve comedy.
Yeah.
Now you're just doing an actual show. You're not like what did I see? Rob Schneider at some convention where he was just in a booth doing comedy and people walked by that weren't really interested.
Well, when you see Rob
Schneider,
that's
the best way to see Rob Schneider.
Walk by his comedy because he sucks, man.
Is that like that's like a street musician for comedy? Like,
no, it was a paycheck is what it was.
Well, it was like people had a bunch of booths set up at a convention. It was some conservative convention.
Of course it was.
People would walk by, watch him for a couple of minutes and then walk away. It wasn't like he wasn't on a stage and people weren't sitting down to enjoy his comedy. They were just walking by and listening to him.
Did that guy just say diabetes is an illusion?
What? Yeah.
I was going to say, was he telling jokes or was he just ranting?
That's all he does.
It was mostly ranting.
That's what I was going to say.
Last year, I was contacted by a local organization. I won't say which one. Right. And it's like, hey, do you want to do 10 minutes of stand-up at this big event for this luncheon? I was like, oh, sure. And then I get there, and they're like, change of plans. You're going to be in the cafeteria where the lines are moving to everyone filling their plates.
Wow.
And you're doing 20 minutes. And I lasted 7 and left.
Oh, you just left?
Yeah.
Did you get the paycheck?
It was a volunteer thing for me to promote something.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it.
So I was like,
There was line to get food. They're looking over at you.
Yeah, it was a line to like go to the hot bar.
Right.
And I was just sitting there doing stand up, and people would like be watching, and then like the line would move, and they'd
that's
just like
demoralizing.
Gone.
Yeah.
The only instance where
I've heard, but 7 minutes, you should help with it. Good for you.
Man. Yeah, I just left.
Got line and got food. That's what I would have done.
Right. Just get paid for it.
Didn't Austin Anderson get hired? Like, I don't know if he was just starting to do stand-up, but like somebody at like a haunted house or for a Halloween thing, he got hired to like stick his head through a hole in a table and like people would like lift up a lid and think there's food under there, and Austin would just be like, ah!
Well, he'll be here tomorrow.
Let's ask him tomorrow, man. Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least he's got a purpose there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not like he's doing comedy and nobody really wants to hear it.
Right, the waiting in line comedy.
But yeah, the golf course stuff, the golf tournament stuff, that works, doesn't
it? You've done that, Nick. You and Gary did that, right? Okay. Yeah.
We found that it works better when there's some sort of sign letting people know.
Because people come up and you have a microphone, just a nice short
We didn't even have
douche.
Microphones. The last time
you didn't
have
microphones?
The last time we did it, we were under a tent that said like some roofing company or something.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy rolls up on his golf cart. He's got a super long goatee. Just as he gets off his goatee, I'm like, hey, man, you ever get one of those goatee hairs stuck in your wife's ass crack? And he's like, he's like, what? This roofing guy is like saying this?
They know why you're there?
No, and he's like, oh, he's like, what is going on? We're like, oh, we're hired to make fun of people. He's like, oh, okay, great.
And you don't have a microphone or anything? You're just walking around.
They probably want that blaring across holes.
We hired these guys to walk around and insult people.
Yeah.
They should notify.
Curtis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have that at our tournament. It's just us.
Yeah, right.
But we just drive around and
insult each other.
Lob and see insults.
Exactly.
Hope to live through the tournament.
All right. That's coming up too, by the way.
It is.
Still some spots available at our golf tournament.
Tyler always gives me crap about wanting to get better at golf at my age.
Yeah.
And somebody sent me a clip of Alice Cooper shot a 65. He shot 7 under at age 71.
So he's played old man golf. You're going to refuse to play that because I know how you are. You want to crush the ball. Score lower, you have to start playing old man golf.
I'm there.
Okay, you are? You hit the ball real far still, then.
I'm getting there.
But to score really low, you got to hit right down the middle.
I don't know. The one time I saw Alice Cooper hit a golf ball at that tournament he was in with us.
And that's been 15 years.
He put it 250 right down the middle.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like he was even trying.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, that's what.
Alice is what 70 something, 76, 77?
He's 78 now, but he
was that his lowest?
65 when he was 71.
Yeah,
and good golfers look like they're not even trying.
And he was probably in his mid 60s, early to mid 60s when we saw him at that tournament. And like I say, it was effortless.
Do you genuinely think you'd ever hit 65?
Oh, I doubt it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, seriously,
good.
That.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I would just like to be shoot a little lower and more consistent. Yeah. I just want to be a little more consistent.
All right, we'll get out there and do it. Zach Peterson with us. He's out doing some comedy this week. We'll tell you where they are if we get back here. And we had Dan Soder on earlier. It was fun. He's the Funny Bone this weekend. Go back and check it out in the podcast.
Omaha.funnybone.com. There's a few tickets available.
And we're going to put like a plate over Austin Aaron's head tomorrow and just pull it up once in a while.
Yeah.
So what if people walk past that table and didn't pull it up for a while? He was just his head in a dark hole until somebody
out.
Did.
Yeah.
I got to find out more
just
details.
Just Austin
about
alone
that.
With his thoughts.
Right, exactly, right. Manta Ray buttholes. One up.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.